Last week, we were discussing exactly the Gemara seems to tell us one has a right to delay the mitzvah peruvu to some degree for the purpose of learning Torah. So the question was, how do we understand the nature of that halacha? So the Rambam presented that as pretty much related to the regular rules of oisik the mitzvah part of the mitzvah once a person is involved in mitzvah A, then that gives you a right or an obligation to send that to fulfill mitzvah B. The only problem was that it didn't seem to fit into the regular categories of Isaac Mitzvah, Pasuk and Mitzvah, because Isaac Mitzvah, Mitzvah, that usually doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. So we explained last week that this may be the exception to the rule, because since the Mitzvah of Peruvu, although it's a Mitzvah Shebegufo, it's a type of Mitzvah you have to do yourself, it is a type of Mitzvah that can potentially be delayed. So since it could possibly be delayed, maybe that's a Mitzvah Shebegufo, that's also the Acherim, which was subject to the regular rules of Isaac Mitzvah, Pasuk and Mitzvah. So we had a lot of issues with that last week. Is that really the Pshat in the Rambam? Some Acherim did say that we weren't so sure that was the real Pshat in the Rambam. Yet left it kind of hanging in terms of Shittas and Rambam. So perhaps we could suggest a little bit of a different approach today, that the reason why one is permitted to delay the Mitzvah Peruvu for the purpose of Talmud Torah is not based on the regular rules of Isaac Mitzvah, Pasuk and Mitzvah like the Rambam presents it. Rather, there's something unique about the relationship between Peruvu and Talmud Torah that enables one, permits one, makes one wise one under certain circumstances to delay the performance of the mitzvah. So the source for this idea that maybe Talmud Torah is different, I don't know if we quoted the last Rambam Kabbos last week, we just left it right at the very end, and they look at the fifth of the Rambam Kabbos. It's the Chokos, the Chokek, and Siman Aleph of Kotten Beis. The very beginning of Evan Ezer, Siman Aleph deals with the dinner of Peruvu. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Sheyis Isha Ben Yilches, that a person is supposed to get married at the age of 18, that we already mentioned last week, that although the Mishnah does say Ben Shvas and Lechufa, the Gemara qualifies it in Maseches Kedushin by saying that you're not really Mevatel in some mitzvah until the age of 20, but again, we're talking about a pretty early age from our vantage point in terms of when to get married. Nevertheless, even the number 18 is very late, because the Chavis Mechokis is borrowed the question, Avagad the Chol HaMitzvahs, Chayav HaKayav Yaakishaz Ben Yigimel. He said, wait a second, when you turn 13, you have to put a film, and it's not happening in your dominion, so why do you have to get married? If Peruvu is no less than the other, and it's more, it's the first mitzvah of the Torah, why isn't the person obligated in Peruvu at the age of 13? So says the Chavis Mechokis, Mechomokom, Mitzvah zu kiblu chazal, sheben yirches l'chupa. Chazal had some kind of a tradition that one is not obligated to get married until one reaches 18, or according to the Rambam, maybe 17, we said last week. Why is that? Because it's understood that a person has to learn before they're going to get married. Says the Chavis Mechokei, based on the Mishnah in the end of Pirkei Avos, that a person doesn't really even begin to start learning until he's about 15, because he's following the Mechavish Lenikra, and that's the Mishnah exactly like we follow in our schools today. So he doesn't reach the age of really learning Gemara, learning Talmud until he's 15. Gotta give him a chance to learn a little bit. Imagine if a person is so well grounded that he learned Mikra for 5 years and learned Mishnah for 5 years, he'll probably do a pretty good job when he reaches 15. He'll be able to knock off a lot of Gemara in 3 years. So comes the says that shiur of the Mishnah, that you have to give a person a chance to learn Torah, that's about built into the system, and therefore you don't become chayav in the mitzvah until 18. So the chayav is a very difficult chayav. I mean, it's a very nice educational system of ben chamish to mikra, ben chamish, but it doesn't really answer the question. I mean, if Peruvu is a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah in the Torah, so bottom line is you won't learn. You'll figure it out later. You won't learn later. You'll learn the Torah. You'll figure out an answer how to learn when you get older. But lechara, if you're really mechuyif to have children, so then how does this really answer the question? So lechara, what the Chavos Chaki is telling us is that a fundamental yisoid that built into the mitzvah of Peruvu is the understanding that the person is going to learn Torah first. Now, learning Torah and Peruvu is not just a clash. It's not just like a clash between two mitzvahs, like a mitzvah of a mitzvah of Sukkah and a mitzvah of Tzedakah. So, what do I do first? So, I have a mitzvah of Pasuk and a mitzvah. Which mitzvah comes first? Which is more important, etc.? No, He said part of the mitzvah of Puruvu, the details of Puruvu itself, necessitate that a person learns Torah first. That you can't go and perform the mitzvah of Puruvu unless one is well grounded in Limudat Torah. So Limudat Torah is in a certain sense a prerequisite to Puruvu. It's not that, well, I have to do one and now I can't do one, I have to do the other. No, it's that is the Seder Dvarim that was built into the very system, is that Puruvu has to be prefaced by Limudat Torah. If that's the case, we have to understand exactly why that's so, but if that's the case, then we can begin to understand why there's so much maneuvering in terms of delaying the mitzvah Puruvu. When you have a mitzvah that, one mitzvah is not dependent upon another, I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. It's irrelevant whether I said Krishna or not that morning. I have a chiv min atari to give tzedakah. So, there's a rule called Eisim mitzvah potter a mitzvah. So if I happen to be involved right now in the middle of saying Shema and Ami walks by me, I'm not mechuyav to give him tzedakah. That's based on the regular rules of Eisim mitzvah potter a mitzvah. That's bound by the rules. There are regular mitzvah. There are clones, there are rules, there are regulations that govern Eisik mitzvah potter mitzvah, because basically they're two separate independent mitzvahs that don't depend one on the other. But here, since the very essence of the mitzvah Puruvu is dependent upon Talmud Torah, Haraya, proof that it's dependent upon Talmud Torah is that Talmud Torah has to come first, and even the shir, even the Zman Chiyuv, is predicated on the assumption that the person had a chance to learn a little bit. So then I understand that even though I've reached the age of 18 and I've quote unquote learned, but I feel that I haven't learned yet. I feel I need a few more years. So that's what the halacha tells us. That under such circumstances, you don't have to come b'kayach oisik b'mitzvah potver mitzvah. Oisik mitzvah potver mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah, not like the Rambam. Oisik mitzvah potver mitzvah doesn't apply to chlal Talmud Torah. Elala, this has nothing to do with the rules of oisik mitzvah potver mitzvah. It's not a din klali of oisik mitzvah. This is a din proti in the very unique relationship between Talmud Torah and Puruvu. So what is that unique relationship? What is it all about? Why is there such a concept? This is probably a throwback to what we spoke about, we touched on a little bit already, is that what is the nature of the mitzvah of Puruvu? What is the Torah telling? What is it all about? That a person is supposed to have children. So is the purpose of having children just simple, a biological fact? Well, so bro l'shevis yitzah, Mark quotes the pasuk in the Navi Yeshayo, that we want to make sure that there are people who are inhabiting the world. If that's the case, that the whole thrust of the mitzvah is to make sure there are people happening in the world, what does that do with my learning? If the boy is 13, if he's physically mature to bring people into the world, so he's mechuyav in the mitzvah. Might have kamina, whether it's going to cost him money, not going to cost him money or anything. But if you redefine the mitzvah of Puruvu, that the mitzvah of Puruvu is not just to bring physical people into the world, but the mitzvah of Puruvu is to bring Torah mitzvahs into the world, the mitzvah of Puruvu is to bring Shomer Torah into the world, then I begin to understand, where is that? That's like a cheshbon. I said, how am I going to accomplish this mitzvah in the most productive way? So if you're going to tell the 13-year-old boy, okay, that's it, your days in cheder are over, go get married, go have children. Again, getting married, this Bach Chazal was working with the assumption, so you can get married, you're going to support your family. So you're going to tell the boy at the age of 13, okay, now you've learned it up, you finished your chumash, you finished 3 years of Mishnah, you're ready, go get married, go have children, bring kids into the world. So he may bring more biological, it's not really, he may bring more biological children into the world, but the type of children he's going to bring into the world are going to be very problematic. Because how is he going to train these children? How is he going to teach Torah to these children? He said the whole point of the mitzvah now, the whole thrust of the mitzvah is to bring lomdei Torah, to bring shomrei Torah mitzvahs into the world. So it's understood that he has to be himself. He has to be able to learn Torah himself before he can teach others. And the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the mitzvah of teaching Torah is the same mitzvah. The Rambam counts it as one of the same of the Torah mitzvahs. Lumos Torah l'lamza, because it's obvious that a person can't teach others Torah until he learns himself. So maybe that's what the Chachamim is driving at. That Chazal understood this. Chazal either had the Seder this, or he understood it themselves. That the whole nature of the mitzvah Puruvu is geared towards bringing Torah into the world, not just bringing children into the world. And that's the case. So then it's understood that you have to have some time to prepare yourself to do this mitzvah properly. So when the person is learning Torah at the age of 15, it's not pshat that he's not fulfilling Puruvu. He's getting ready to fulfill Puruvu. He's in the process of performing Puruvu. He's in the process of teaching himself Torah in order to be able to raise a family, to teach them Torah. So if that's the case, that built into the very chiyuv is the delay for Talmud Torah, then I understand why Chazal give you a little bit more of a delay. Now, there's a basic standard delay. The standard delay is 5 years. that everybody needs from a mitzvah to leitin to get himself grounded a little bit and learning Teshuvah about that. That's the standard. But even within the standard, there's a degree, there are degrees of flexibility. And if a person feels they need a little bit of more, okay, so they need a little bit more. Is it forever and ever and ever? No, so that's what the Rush writes. Go back to the fourth of the Ramakomos.
Kitzur, mostly.
The Kitzvah Yos, the Libra Lo Yadana, he says, the Chazal don't tell us what the cutoff point is. Shelo Yitochen, she's Vatel a Biriv Rivi Ko Yomov. Doesn't make any sense that a person should be Mavatel his entire life. Shelo Matzinu Ze Elam Ben Aza, Yishachoshke Nafshe B'Torah. The Gemara has a very special, unique story about Ben Aza, that some say he tried to get married, he didn't try to get married for different opinions, but Lemaise, he was the only one who had the right, in effect, not to have children, because he couldn't deal with it, couldn't function, couldn't work in this world. So he never chuslim, he was potter from the mitzvah peruvu. But a regular person is obligated in peruvu. He's learning Torah, the answer is, there's got to be some kind of an end. Why must there be an end? So according to what we're saying, of course there has to be an end. It's not that Talmud Torah is deicha peruvu. If Talmud Torah was deicha peruvu, you could argue, okay, what's the difference when I'm learning at 22, I'm learning it at 95? If I'm still nervous at 95, I won't be able to make that parnasa. So then I can continue learning. So the answer is, it's not doicha. Of course you have to do mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah she'ev shalas as deichem. Of course you have to do the mitzvah peruvu. Ella what? Kol's maradi, you being oisik at Talmud Torah as a prerequisite, as a preparatory stage for peruvu, that's considered like a kiyum of peruvu. To say I'm going to do all the hachanas and I'm not going to do the mitzvah itself, so that's not right. That's not correct. So therefore, the halach is that you have a right to delay peruv 5 years. That's the standard. That's the shiur for everybody. And then for each individual, you have to tailor make it what's necessary for each individual if he feels he has to grow into a little bit more. This idea that the mitzvah peruv is not so much biologic oriented, but it's more Torah oriented, that we want to bring Shemitah mitzvahs into the world. So there may be other halachas within the details of peruv that may express this idea as well. There is a sugya in Masechet Yevamos, maybe Lovitch will talk a little about more tomorrow, but just for our purposes now, there is a Gemara in Yevamos that talks about what is the halacha if a non-Jew has a child, and then the non-Jew subsequently converts. What's the din? Can you be yaitzeh the mitzvah peruvu with children that were brought about when that were conceived when the father was still considered to be a goy? So Ha'ilo Banim Begin Yusuf, this guy, what's the din? So it's Machlokes like thinking about. So strangely enough, we pass you that you are yaitzeh the mitzvah peruvu, which is a very it's a very strange idea. Why yaitzeh peruvu? There are a lot of problems with this halacha. One problem is, how are the children even related to you? Don't we have rule gersh and his gayer? Shenoladam, usually when a person converts, so his relatives are not really his relatives up here anymore. That's one problem the Gemara tackles. Then the Acharonim deal with another question. The time when I brought the children into the world, I wasn't really chayv in peruvu, because goyim are not obligated in peruvu. So how can I be yaitzeh mitzvah now for something that I did when I was potter? So it's also an issue. So there are a lot of issues that have to be sorted out in terms of understanding this Gemara properly. But the one nekuda that the folks can discuss is, what is the din of the following case? The person had the children when he was not Jewish, and then the father converts, but the children don't convert. The children are goyim. He marries a goyah. They have goyish children, and 20 years later the father converts. So what's the din? Well, we pass in the halacha like Rav Yochanan that kiyum peruvu. Does that mean he's makayim peruvu if his children also convert? That's what the Rambam seems to say. What do we say now? That he could theoretically be yaitzeh in the mitzvah peruvu even if his children don't convert. The mamash goyim. So there are some achronim who say, yeah, you could be yaitzeh in the mitzvah. My real folks that maybe you could be yaitzeh in the mitzvah peruvu with goyish children. Some wonder things. It's a strange thing. So it's hard enough we don't understand how the children related to him with Yeshua's guy. It's hard enough we don't understand he did the mitzvah when he was a goy. But to say he's yaitzeh with goyish children, how are you talking about this? So the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. The Rambam is that you only yaitzeh the mitzvah if the children themselves convert. What should that issue depend on? Why should we insist that the children convert or accept that even if the children don't convert? So it sounds like that's the root of this issue. What is the point of the mitzvah? What are we trying to accomplish with the mitzvah peruvu? Are we trying to simply add a statistic to the world, to inhabit the world, bring another person into the world? So then, by nafkamina, where the Jews are going, you have to get around the yichus issues in terms of how a pin did in the night. Child, I'm Jewish, my child's a goy. So it's the whole thing that doesn't sit right. How does that child mishyaches to me? That's a different. That's a technical yichus issue you have to work out. But fundamentally, and from the vantage point, the pruvu, there's nothing wrong, so to speak, with being yaitz pruvu with a goyish child. Whereas, if you hold that the nature of the mitzvah pruvu is such that it's mitzvah oriented, the whole goal is to get shem return to the world. That's why I'm potter till I finish my learning. That's why I can continue to learn it past the age of 18, because the goal is to get shem return mitzvah into the world. That would be rather bizarre. I'm sitting and stagging for 20 years to get shem return mitzvah into the world, but I'm yet to be the gracious child. I'm not going to do mitzvah anyway. So that sounds like a contradiction in terms. So you're going with this route that we're saying. We're going down this road that the mitzvah pruvu is Torah oriented, not just physically, biologically oriented. So in the Chari, you would have to insist, like the Mashmos and the Rambam, that those children have to at least be Jewish. It seems to be
a different mitzvah for a guy and a Jew,
so,
and then he was Mekayim the Goyish mitzvah.
So we'll see in a moment about that, but the relationship between Jews and Goy may very well be part of this whole story. So this idea that it's not enough just to populate the world.
Does anyone talk about, like, if a child goes off the
derech? No, so there's no question. So this idea that having children is not merely to populate the world, but there's more of a religious nature to it, that seems to be part of the discussion that the Beis Yosef has. In the very beginning of Siman Aleph in Ebenezer, Beis Yosef discusses the following shayla. What's the din? Person has two children, a boy and a girl. But Nebuch, either the boy and the girl, both of them, are individuals who are not going to be chayv in mitzvahs. Why they're not going to be chayv in mitzvahs? Because Nebuch is a cheresh, someone who can't hear and can't speak. We spoke a lot about him in Maseches Yevamos. Or a shoyte, someone who's Nebuch insane, is a mental, whatever, psychological issues, whatever it is, to the point where the halacha declares that the person is not chayv in mitzvahs yet, because it's bilav by das. So would a person fulfill the mitzvah peruvu under such circumstances? So, l'chora, depends. If you take the approach that it's a physical thing, just to biologically inhabit a life, a person's heart, a person's walking, he's breathing, so then you just inhabit in the world, so you should be yet to the mitzvah, hands down, nothing to discuss. But if you hold that it's more of a halachic in nature, it's more of a adding Torah mitzvahs, adding avodas Hashem into the world, then one could stop and say, wait, let's analyze. I brought a chemish into the world. A person brought a sheit into the world. How is that going to enhance Torah mitzvah? The person's part of the mitzvahs. So comes the Beis Yosef and says, no, quotes from the Maharil, who says that even though the child is a cherish or a shaita, and even though one would think that they're not really accomplishing anything in the world, no, it's not true, says the Beis Yosef. You know why? Because the person is accomplishing mitzvahs in the world. Even the cherish and shaita doing mitzvahs. What mitzvahs exactly the cherish and shaita doing? So the Beis Yosef quotes, well, the halacha is that we're not allowed to feed trey for food to a kotlan. We're not allowed to feed trey for food to a cherish and to a shaita. So it shows that the person is basically Jewish. Shows that the person is really shaykh to mitzvahs. El es a p'tur, the Torah has rachmanis, so to speak, and the cherish and shaita. The person listens to the guy, doesn't know what he's doing. He can't control himself. So the Torah is not going to give him a whole regiment of doing mitzvahs. But it's not like a goy. I'm allowed to feed trey for food to a goy. There's nothing wrong with giving a goy trey to eat. But I'm not allowed to be a Torah. I'm not allowed to feed trey to a cherish or a shaita. So says the Beis Yosef. You see from here that he's basically this kaddish mitzvah Yisrael. He is chayav quote unquote mitzvahs. He's chayav mitzvahs, but there's a p'tur. He has like a p'tur unchin, so to speak. The Kaddish Baruch is not going to hold him responsible for his not performing mitzvahs. But is he a barho? Is he the terrorist, the mitzvahs of kashrus or shabbat? He is the terrorist of mitzvahs. So why did Beis Yosef have to go that route? Why did he have to go figure out that the cherish and the shaita are basically chayiv in mitzvahs? It's just that there's a pasre. Why was he? What compelled the Beis Yosef to say that? So the chori you see from the Beis Yosef's whole discussion is that the nature of the mitzvah pruvu is halach oriented, is mitzvahs oriented. So therefore, we have to find a category to put the cherish and shaita into that they're also a shtickel chayv in mitzvahs. He says he ran to the din of kashrus and said, you see from the fact that I'm not allowed to feed treifas to a cherish and shaita, you see from here that a cherish and shaita are included in mitzvahs. If you would have gone the other route, that pruvu is not mitzvah oriented. Pruvu is just biology oriented. It's just world inhabited oriented. Then you wouldn't have even had to go that route. So call part of it's a chiddush from the Beis Yosef. So Derech Agav, the Poskim quote from this Beis Yosef, see something else interesting, that the issur of feeding trace of food to someone who's not chayiv in mitzvahs, in the Gemara itself only appears in the context of a katan. The Gemara says, "Beferesh Yevamos, if you doubt that also l'hach al katan b'yadayim, I'm not allowed to give a even a little baby. I'm not allowed to give them treifas. But in normal circumstances, to feed a baby treifas would be a problem in HaTorah." So the Gemara never says anything about a cherish of a shaita. The Gemara only speaks about a katan. So from the fact that the Beis Yosef extended the cherish and shaita is interesting, because one could have argued that maybe this iser only applies to a katan, because the katan is going to be chayv and mitzvahs later. So it's like chinuch. It's like the Torah saying, it's like be'er chinuch to give him treifos. A cherish and a shaita, unless something radical happens, they're never going to become chayv and mitzvahs. So one could have distinguished and said, that the nedav amamurim, you're not allowed to feed treifas. That's the katan. Cherish shaita maybe is mutter. See, kavash v'lod. You see from the Beis Yosef that's not true. You see, the halach is that even to cherish and shaita, you're not allowed to feed treif. This is a common shaila. It used to be more common shaila, but it happens even today. I had the shaila not that long ago. You know, there used to be a very common issue in Europe when a person never had to be institutionalized. Well, in the olden days, if you had to put something away, there was no kosher facility, there was nothing, so you had to put a person away and put him in there. Basically, you were committing him to eating treifas for the rest of his life. Sometimes it's not because of that, it's for him, for other people, okay, sometimes there was no choice. But sometimes you had, maybe it was an option. So the question was, are you permitted to send the person away to an institution where you know they're going to be eating treifas? You're signing them up to the institution. You're affecting machal that they're dying.
They don't know.
So they have no idea. They have no idea. So they're a lot bardas. They have no idea what's going on. So the question is that okay? So could one argue that I'm allowed to feed treifas to a shaita? I'm not allowed to feed treifas to a koptan, but I'm allowed to feed treifas to a shaita. So the Chassam Sofer quote, you see from the Beis Yosef, not that way, you see from the Beis Yosef, that could be ma'achal v'yadayim is also even to a cherish and a shaita, even though they're never going to become chayiv and mitzvahs. It's interesting. One of the Echvarim quotes this discussion about.
Everyone agrees to this basis?
Not everyone agrees to this, no. So one of the Echvarim writes in Siman Aleph in Ebn Ezra, when they discuss the shail of having a child who's going to be Eino Chayv Mitzvah, so they talk about if a person that gives birth to a Chayresh, to a Shaita, are they Yaitzin Mitzvah Prabhu? Not Yaitzin, right? Back and forth. So one of the Echvarim by mistake wrote, if a person gives birth to a Chayresh Shaita Vakatan, are you yaitzir mitzvah? So katan is obviously a place that sakum was up. So the pen slip. Everybody gives birth to a katan. Only Adam Arishim was born as a non katan. But again, the idea being that if a person gives birth to a cherish or shaita, who's not chayim and mitzvah, maybe not be chayim and mitzvah, can it be yaitzir mitzvah now?
This seems to be the way you present it. This goes on the person who is a bar das. So it's the obligation of what I can do and can't do. Can I bring someone to a institution? But what about if they want to do it on their? What if
they can't?
The person on his own volition wants to eat.
He wants to eat treifas.
He doesn't know. I mean, he doesn't
know. That's my point. The Gemara. If I see a katan eating treifas, I'm not mechuyav to stop him. We pass that only maybe a parent is chayav to chinuch, maybe if the child's old enough, he's not going to be. Let's say my 2-year-old child is standing by the light switch on Shabbos, sitting on, off, on, off. I'm not moving to something.
Right, but we're bringing this now as a raya, why someone is yotze with purvu. If the person on his own has no obligation to keep mitzvah, then how can you say?
No, so we're saying that the Torah is never mechayev because he's not responsible for what he's thinking. The Torah can't be mechayev in him. But fundamentally, he's a quote unquote chayev in mitzvahs. He's not like a goy. A goy has no shaychah to it. I can give chazah to a goy, lechatchilah shub lechatchilah, but I'm not allowed to give chazah to the katan. The katan is not chayev in mitzvahs. The answer is, he's. It's like a lumbus. It's not that he's not chayv. He's chayv, but he's potter. That means he's chayv, and he says, Kedush Yisrael, he's chayv in all mitzvahs. Oh, the Torah gave him a p'tur. It's like Moshe Lamad of Adorim a little bit. Like the apostle discussed, they have a woman in a mitzvah, say she has nine grandmas. A woman about the mitzvah shofar. So when a woman hears shofar, that's like a goy hearing shofar. It's the same thing. The woman's p'tur, the goy is potter. No, the chal not. The goy is never chayv in shofar. Goy had no shaykhah to the mitzvah shofar. The mitzvah shofar is given to Klai Yisrael. A woman is discussed with Dishes Israel the same exact extent as a man. So the Tag mitzvahs were given to women also. Elohat. The Torah gave 630 mitzvahs to all of Klai Israel. And then the Torah said, by the way, we're going to give that woman a p'tur for whatever reason the Torah gave. A woman is p'tur for the mitzvah. That's she's not shaykh to it. That she has no connection whatsoever. That's why a woman can make a bracha. Because it's still it's a kiyumus. It's part of her. She's still related to the mitzvah, even though she's not technically a chayyim. So Chopar, this idea that we're now developing is really governing many of the details of Pruvu. This idea that Pruvu is not just biology oriented, but it's more halacha oriented. So we're saying that's the reason why the mitzvah doesn't start till 18, and that's why you can learn a few more years afterwards, and that's the reason why some say you have to have Jewish children, and that's why the Beis Yosef had to go find the reason why the Chesh and Shadr are also considered to be good enough. We touched on this a little bit also in 2 weeks ago. That seemed to be Rashi's pshat in the mitzvah of Erevos Anach Yadecha. Rashi said, why should you have more children? The guy had a boy to go with it. He said, so the Gemara says, no, you have to have more children. What do you have to have more children for? So the Rabbim said, because each child is important, each child is a world in and of itself. But the Rashi says, no, because you're afraid that if you only have one boy and one girl, how do you know? Maybe one of them won't be from. That's what Rashi said in the 70 levels. So, okay, I mean, terrible, one won't be from, but what does that do with the mitzvah Puravu? So it sounds in Rashi also that if a person has a child, the child goes off the derech. I'm not going to say you're not yaitzah the mitzvah, but there's some pagam in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not bishle musa. So part of the mitzvah is to have, not just to bring children into the world, but to bring shomitar mitzvah into the world. So I think at the time we mentioned, where did this whole idea come from? This whole, a razzle-dazzle, shtickle time in the chumash. So there shouldn't time to grow. That the whole point of the mitzvah, or a significant point of the mitzvah, is to have shomitar mitzvahs. Where did that come from? You have to go back to the psukim, you got to find some kind of a mocha for this. So we suggested that maybe it's found in the different makaris that serve as sources for the mitzvah peruvu. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the mitzvah peruvu appears in a few places. It appears in the very beginning, of course, in Bereishis. Peruvu milonos arzach Yeshua. There, you don't see anything about the Torah mitzvahs there. That mitzvah was given to Adam Arisha. Arisha wasn't even Jewish. The Koshi had shed the mitzvahs. The Torah just says, there it's a very biologic mitzvah. It's a very, very world-oriented mitzvah, very physically oriented mitzvah. Prove who Milas are. You can't get more explicit than that. Milas are. It's have a lot of people. Fill up the world. Chivshua. Take over the world. Conquer the world. Or do the Gathayam. Control the fish and the animals and the birds. That has nothing to do with learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. So in the Chinami, that pasuk is not the mocher for the pruvu that we're talking about. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say, that mitzvah was given to the goyim until Matan Torah. Until Matan Torah, the mitzvah pruvu was not given to the non-Jews. But then everything changed after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, the mitzvah was taken away from the goyim and given to Klai Yisrael. Lechem olam, shuv lechem yor lechem. Immediately after Matan Torah, the Torah says, go back to your wives and have children. Back to wives and have children. We learned already Tarshish Bereishis, we know we have to have children. So the answer is no. It's the day after Matan Torah. So after Matan Torah, everything is radically different. Up until now, the Rosh Hashanah is telling us, you had to have children, and the Plishtim had to have children, and the Chitim had to have children. Everyone had to have children to populate the world. But now that's changed. Baruch Hashem, the world's reached enough people in the world. Now we have a different goal, says the Rosh Hashanah. Now the goal is, Shuv Lechem Yor Lechem, with Torah. Means you just have a Kabbal Torah. Now go back and have children. But the children you have now, these are going to be the Shema Torah Mitzvah children. It's a different culture. It's a different type of mitzvah peruvu. So maybe it was our guess that maybe the fact that the Torah repeats the mitzvah peruvu and specifically in the context of Kabbal post Kabbal Satorah, so that makes a lot of sense that the whole goal of the peruvu has now changed. And maybe that also puts into perspective that, you know, that dilemma that Chazal allude to in also Masechet Yevamos and Masechet Shabbos, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself somehow never really fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu, where we pass it. In the same pasuk it says, Shuv lechem yor lechem, v'yatov po amoi madi. The Rosh Hashanah says to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, you have to stay back, you don't go back to your wife. He didn't fulfill peruvu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzapirish b'nei isha. So why is that? So again, it also makes sense, because the whole goal of Peruvu is to have more children in the world. More children in the world, not just have children now. To have more Torah in the world, that's what the Baruch Shalom is saying. There's an exception to this rule. The same way we're saying that you can learn, you know, that every teenager can learn a couple of years in order to learn Torah, because the learning Torah for those 5 years is going to be more important than starting the Peruvu early. Or the person who wants to learn a little bit more after reaches 20, okay, that's all right, because that's to add more Torah to the world. You had to make a cheshbon there. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have a few more children. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to sit in Har Sinai, he's going to learn the Torah, be Malabi Torah, Lekla Yisrael. So in the greater scheme of adding Torah to the world, what's going to be more productive? So that's what Torah is called Kla Yisrael. Everything we have is hinging upon Moshe Rabbeinu, Yata Poe Modi Madi, Fenol Chalukhata. So even from the vantage point of Puruvu, it's worth the investment. If you tell me that Puruvu is just a physical mitzvah, every single Jewish male has to populate the world with a boy and a girl, why is Moshe Rabbeinu different? Moshe Rabbeinu also, why is he less than anybody else? So you tell me, no, that's not the mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah is that every Jewish male has to do his utmost to make sure that there's the most opportunity for Torah in this world. Part of doing that is to bring more children into the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, for me, my contribution to Torah is going to be a lot more important if I sit for the next 40 years and listen to the Shechina and teach Torah. I don't find to have more children. It's not going to be my thing for me to have more children. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish for the Isha, yes, he wasn't quote-unquote Yotze Peruvu, but it wasn't a bitul of Peruvu. It was his particular situation necessitated that he has to continue to learn. He has to continue to recover Torah rather than perform the mitzvah. Peruvu the way any other person would have fulfilled the mitzvah. So I hope on him the relationship between the mitzvah of Peruvu and Talmud Torah is such that it's not, again, except according to the Rambam, it's not being governed by the regular rules of Isaac Mitzvah, Padre Mitzvah. It's based on the particular rules, the specific rules, that the nature of the Mitzvah Peruvu is such that the whole purpose of Talmud Torah, the whole purpose of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, therefore it's going to have to take, in a sense, a back seat sometimes to the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right, so we'll finish this. So you may go for tomorrow, we'll start a little odds and ends related to
Peruvu.